Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another Redshirt Friday edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway, but what we do when we gather is we discuss the issues between food production and food consumption. Pastor Jeff Weiss joining us from, are you in Sevierville, Gatlinburg?
I am in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Good
morning, Nebraska.
I'm guessing you're not looking at out your window what I'm looking at out my window.
No, I saw that.
I'm a sideways snow, and I've had probably 3+ inches since 2 o'clock this morning. Still coming.
For you, that probably means a whole lot of things that could be good or bad. But for me, that brings back memories of those beautiful 18 years that I spent growing up on our farm in northern Indiana when, you know, I was young. So when a blizzard hit like that, it was good times for me. Time to get the tractor out, start digging, start doing some plowing, grading.
Yeah.
How cold is it?
In Indiana, you might call 3 inches a blizzard. We don't.
Well, we got
I take like, your point.
We got a couple, you know, in 77, 78, we got 6 or 8 feet. So, and yeah. But you know how it works. 3 inches, if it blows around enough, can
oh,
be
absolutely.
You know, and that's what we always had.
We just have a gentle blow from the north. So,
I got you.
We're 24 degrees.
24. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. So, wow. Today we're going to talk about free indeed. What does that mean?
Well,
you write a book about that.
And yes, but even in a lighter context, gosh, it just relates so much to where we are today. There you are. That is one of the concepts of free indeed. And really, I can relate this to liberty, to our country, to how it's in front of us, but you got to fight for it, right? Mm-hmm. It's nothing that just comes to you. And so free indeed is just a verse in the Bible, John 8:36. But it really is a description of where we're at in so many aspects of our culture, of our family lives, and of people who we are, because what we're trying to do is search for who we are and our identity everywhere, but where the history of the world, which I believe is the Bible, tells us our identity is.
I wonder how many people every day try to figure out what their identity is. I have a feeling it's the majority.
Well, I think that if we were arbitrating that, mm-hmm. it'd be great. But unfortunately, I think 95% of our people have it set for them. They're not seeking anything. They are the tails wagging the dog. And you and I have talked a little bit about this. I'm starting to believe that the great demon in the lives of every American is the debt that they owe. So technically, we don't proact, we react. You know, I remember myself before I was financially independent. Every day I'd wake up and I promise a couple of them first thoughts were going to be, okay, did I pay that card or this card, or do I have to do this? Or oh, I don't want to go to work today, but I do. I'm in the help people that struggle in substance abuse. Friends been in business or in their job 30 years. I got drunk on Friday night because I made it through another week. I got drunk on Sunday night because I got to go back.
That's spot on.
And the deal is that so the identity search comes when we turn the TV on. Mm-hmm. That's where we began, or I did in the 70s growing up, because you know what? Maybe not all the way, but back then we could believe it. I get tickled about my father. He's passed 3 years now coming up, but he was an Indiana farmer born in the house that we lived in on our farm. And to the day he died, when the mail came, he went to that mailbox and it meant there was a correspondence that he needed to respond to. Trent, when he was already had dementia, and I found out he was writing money and giving to checks and donating to causes that didn't even exist.
Right.
Horse farms, saving horses and things that I looked them up and there wasn't even any horses there, but it was a great gig for them. So what I'm saying is that we've come from a time where we could quote trust our doctor. We could trust the media. We could trust our politicians. And so what happened, I believe, is we felt some kind of freedom with that, right? But what it was that fake kind of freedom that the Bible talks about before Jesus says that, hey, you got to come to me because your sin is what your problem is. You got to know who you are, and only I can set you free. So that's where that context fits in.
All right. So you opened like 8 channels that we could follow there. First, I'm going to go down the path of elder abuse, because this is a common problem. What you just described with your father, these non-governmental organizations, particularly in the animal rights world, but I think it exists as well. I know it exists as well in the environmental world, where they send out these tremendously emotional flyers and ask for money, even $25 at a time. They are fleecing this elderly population, and it's like nobody's even paying attention.
And they are so clever because they come look like a bill. Well, yeah, that generation paid their bills. And that's the way this horse rescue in Arizona was. It came like $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
When I dug into them, they haven't filed anything they're supposed to file in years. But can you imagine the profit margin there, Trent?
That was probably Simone's operation in Arizona. She was wonderful at doing that. I met her once.
But that's not the worst. That's not the worst, because that's just pure out somebody scamming, and that is someone who is operating on evil. What is the worst? And I might go ahead and just say that when you get into politics, that's where it was heavy.
Mm-hmm.
The coins that were showing up. This coin has been made especially for you, and it would name my father's name.
Really?
He literally thought that there have been recent presidents who were literally talking to him personally because of the way the language was written. And it caused what, you know, I was hoping we could talk about a little bit, is how we are so quick to spot our adversaries' woes and their problems and their flaws. But there's just scripture that says, man, you know, why do you point out the speck in your neighbor's eye when you got a log sticking in your eye?
Mm-hmm.
And I never really got that too much. But that's really where we're at today, is that when you're on the team, your team can do whatever, and there's never going to be anything wrong with it. But the other guy can break wind, and all of a sudden, it's time to get rid of them. You know, so that is what happened, like, to my father. So I couldn't speak to him, and he made me kind of that way, that, oh, we're all correct and they're all wrong, and that's just the way it is. Well, listen, when the truth sets you free and you become free indeed, like I have, man, I'm telling you can see things for what they are. And I'm realizing that our culture has lost that ability to analyze truth.
I didn't anticipate we'd get hung up on this, but we are. Because I'm now running through my head how many millions and probably billions of dollars are taken from these individuals who just have lost their sense of reality. In fact, I have a friend who did so much of this, sent so much money away in the early era of dementia, they lost a ranch. And I'm just wondering how many billions of dollars each year are fleeced from people that... There's a scammer out there that's figured out how to tap into somebody's weak side.
But isn't the real scam in the medical industry, where we have got an absolute epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, you would talk about, I'm like you, I didn't know we'd go here, but I got a call a few years ago from a pastor of the church I was going to, and said, hey, would you be interested in helping me pastor this assisted living Alzheimer care facility? And I was with kids and seniors and adults, you know, senior high school kids. So I'd never done any of the elderly. And I was like, you know, what in the world would God want me to do this for? Well, let me tell you this. Everything that you're experiencing today, because you're a child of God, is Him preparing you for next week or next year or next month, and you don't even need to analyze why, just roll with it. So I do this for like 2 years, right? And it was really cool because they were mostly dementia people, right? And so I could preach the same message every week, right? They didn't remember anything, but what they wanted that 10 minutes afterwards that I would sit there and pet them and let them talk about their life, right? And so it began to soften me. I'm still like, why am I here? Well, 2 years later, my father, I get a call from my neighbor and said, your dad's standing in my driveway with his pants, no shoes on, extra pair of pants in his hand saying, take me home. And so what can happen, because I think that the medical field has not embraced this because there's probably not a revenue stream there yet, but it's third and fourth stage out of seven before a lot of these people are even diagnosed before the family, because if you go by their house, they can get by, right? They can do it. So the thing is, I believe that
I believe you could go on through this break, but I won't let you. More Rural Route, Pastor Jeff Weiss after this. Welcome back, Rural Route, Trent Lewis, Pastor Jeff Weiss joining us from Tennessee. And I'm in the middle of interrupting you when you said that I believe, and you're talking about the medical community not recognizing early onset dementia until it's very advanced.
Well, my thing just was that here I was put in this situation and I tried to reach out. Like I don't care what it is, Trent, whatever project anymore, if I've got YouTube connectivity, I'll give it a try. And I am telling you, there was nothing out there. You would contact experts about dementia and they'd say, huh, good luck with that. And that is very frustrating when the disease is so brutal. And then they go into the trying to extend it. My father, this was during COVID, right? And so they offered us window visits. I'm like, that's cruel. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because he's disoriented anyway, right? But the bottom line is it became very, very obvious to me. The idea was to stretch this out as long, because they really aren't hard to care for. And it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of a disease that might last 7 or 8 years.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I don't know if I've told you, but I lost my father to Alzheimer's at the age of 72. And the last year, he never spoke a sentence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough. Our oldest daughter, who is, now a registered dietitian, it really motivated her to channel what she's doing towards diabetes, because we now know that Alzheimer's or forms of dementia are type 3 diabetes. And so it's a disease that can be altered with proper diet.
Yes. But once again, we're back to analyzing our culture, and our culture is a fast-paced, revenue-based. I mean, I'm telling you, dude, you hear the most bizarre ailment. I think of the bent carrots, and I'm sorry if that's appropriate for radio or TV, but
we can talk about bent carrots.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, because I don't know why I do, but
commercial came on, and I mean, it's like my wife and I looked at that after it was over and looked at each other and like, we laughed. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. It was on a primetime spot. It cost a lot of money for this spot to run. And then it came on and on and on and on. So there's an issue out there. Who knew? Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's how quick they identify a problem, mainly, and that's kind of what I went into with Free Indeed, that I believe there are two ways that cultures can operate, right? 99.9% of all the cultures around the world are operated around fear. If you don't act this way, you're going to have a consequence, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's great if we're not Christians or we're not believers, but good gravy, there's probably 60% still, 70% of the people in this country that claim that they are Christian, that they believe in the God, Jesus Christ was, born of the virgin birth and died as remission for our sin. Well, that kingdom, right, is a completely different way. It's 180 from fear. It is love. That is how that kingdom operates. And that's why it is so difficult for people that live in this country where we have all the abundance of decadence, right? And we're able to control things we think. But yet we have the highest depression rates. We're the loneliest people in the world. And it's because we don't know, going back to that identity. We think we're here for 76.7 years to get all we can get, and what extra we got, leave to our kids, when the truth of the history of the world written in the Bible says that that's exactly wrong. That you're a spirit living in a temporary body, and that spirit is going to live forever because that's where it came from to begin with, Genesis 2:7.
It still comes back to one thing I learned in Sunday school, Jeff, and that is when the Sunday school teacher told me it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. And I never been rich in my life, but every kid thinks they're going to be rich, right? And I was like, well, how can that be? Why can't I be both? And now that I'm coming on 58, I understand how you can't be both.
Well, let's talk about that scripture. That's a great one. I love it. Because I was the kind of Christian that I let the pastor worry about that. I could probably do John 3:16 and
right.
23rd Psalm. If people left me alone, I could probably get them pretty close. But since the book's open and I found out it's about me, I want to know my story, right? So the eye of the needle is what I grew up thinking, because my mother knitted and sewed. She crocheted, did cross stitch and all these things. There was always someone in the room doing this, you know? And so there was never a pastor that told me, hey, by the way, they're not talking about knitting needles here. So what the story is that there is a pass, right? And when you are traveling through the desert and you get your camel, you've got all your belongings on that thing. And the pass is barely wide enough for the camel to fit through. So what you're having is the difficulty in the pass gets all backed up with camels because people are having to stop, get off the camel, drag all their crap off the camel, pull the camel through, get on the other side, reload everything, and go. So what that meant was not difficulty in the impossibility way, but difficult in that you are going to have to participate.
That is awesome. I'd never heard that.
A few have, because
in today's world, you'd have to explain it as bandwidth. There's not enough bandwidth for you to go through as one piece. You have to go through piece by piece.
Well, and that the Bible is full of promises, but there's usually a word before that, like if. You know, there's a great verse in Romans 8:1 that says, man, there's no more condemnation about your past. But before that, it says, for those in Christ. So that means when you're living in the love instead of the fear, right? And you know you're a spirit. And here's the deal. Here, I'll give away the end of the movie, is you were created to love somebody more than you love yourself. And that pursuit will make you so freaking happy, you won't even know what hit you. But we're opposite of that.
Yeah, we are.
I
want to come back to that, Jeff, because I see that not only in Christianity, and it magnifies itself in the world that we live in, because this book that I constantly pack around called The Constitution says that we need to be a dutiful citizen. Well, Jesus said we need to be a dutiful Christian as well. And you have to get off the camel and pack yourself through there yourself. If you expect somebody else to do it for you, you're probably not going to be happy with the end result. And that to me is the moral of the story in life.
And also, if you don't understand that there is no neutral ground in the fight that we're in, because it's a spiritual war, you are either on the good side or you're on the bad side. So neutrality is the bad side. It's same way with reading your Bible. If you're not reading it and learning it, then you're dying. You're either growing or dying. There's no, I'm just here in the middle, right? There's been books that have called those Christians the frozen chosen.
I haven't heard that either. Apparently, I don't get out much.
They're just here. But what you have to get into, and what I'd like to step into a little bit next, is what most people go into church have never experienced in their life, and it was a really struggle for me because at 44 years old, I woke up and finally met some people, you know, that would talk to me in this tone here, not theologically, religiously, or those types of ways, but just man to man. But hey, I see how you are, dude, and you're lost. Oh, really? What do you mean by lost? Well, there's a thing of being a Christian, but having absolutely no personal relationships with your Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is a Savior, right? He came to save the world. That's what everybody wants some of. But it says he also must be Lord of your life, where people will make those synonyms where they're not. He came to save the world, but became to be Lord over my life. So if I don't make him Lord over my life, that's your lukewarm state, and that's where you can be free and maybe even go into heaven, but be miserable. And the chaos of this world will affect you just like it affects somebody that doesn't claim to believe, right? That's the difference between being free and free indeed.
And free indeed for the second half of Roll Route. Back with Pastor Jeff Weiss after this. Let's talk about nitric oxide. I'm actually pleased at the number of people that are now contacting me to say, Trent, I've been listening about nitric oxide. Now I'm hearing everybody talk about it. Tell me what Dr. Nathan Bryan says. Dr. Nathan Bryan says, and you can go get this at no2u.com. no2u.com. All of the science behind the cardiovascular essentialness of nitric oxide. Mental clarity, thanks to nitric oxide. And other bodily functions, which Jeff Weiss may involve the carrot activity. All of this is hinged upon you having the right level of nitric oxide running through your blood at all times. NO2U.com. Use Trent as your coupon code, and I pay the shipping. Welcome back, Roll Route. Trent Luce alongside Pastor Jeff Weiss joining us from, I'm going to say Memphis, Tennessee.
We're only about 8 hours from
Yeah, there. Right. I know. I just moved you to rice country.
Yes.
Go some rice.
Renee is from Memphis. She's a Memphis gal.
I don't know that I've ever eaten in a better barbecue restaurant than the Germantown Commissary.
Really?
You been there?
Nope.
I think it's still open. Last I knew, it was still open. They're in Germantown, right outside of Memphis. Okay. So I'll meet you guys down there one day.
Let's do it.
My grandfather, born in 1918, passed in 2006. Just before I went to Rensselaer, Indiana to speak, by the way, for the record, he did not believe in debt. And I was a 19-year-old young whippersnapper, and the farm next to us come up for sale, and I bought for $1,650 an acre, a 90-acre patch, thanks to the assistance of my grandfather, who was reluctant to assist me because he didn't think I should go into debt. That land would never be worth that again. Mm-hmm. And I ended up selling it to my parents. It's still in our family, but I think it's now worth about $16,000 an acre.
Thank you.
I believe somebody would offer $20,000 an acre. This whole land thing's out of control. That's not the topic of my discussion. My father-in-law.
We can talk about that one day, though.
We can today. Who knows? My father-in-law, he doesn't believe in debt either. That generation, and he's 83, so he's 20 years younger than my grandfather. But I come along and I'm that new age. You know, Jeff, you got to spend it to get it, and you got to grow, and you got to do all these other things. It was so easy to fall into that trap. And now every day, and Kelly's harping on me too, our number one goal is to get out of debt. Debt keeps you a slave. And that's what you referred to earlier. And I clearly see that today. I wonder if you can operate and do what you need to do to sustain your living without getting into debt to begin with.
Well, I just think you have to have that plan up front. And once again, I'm going to go back to, it's not this generation. Mm-hmm. It is the generation before and the generation before that chose these paths of delivering information to kids. That's where it's at. right? In our education systems, our medical systems, our government, what is their ulterior motive? And the truth is, all things might have had a noble beginning, right?
Right.
Like a political candidate that decides he wants to run for office, right? In the beginning, there's got to be something in his spirit that is genuine that makes it happen, right? But compromise is inevitable in this culture because the people who have taught you have compromised. So you have seen this played out over and over in front of you. You desensitized something, right? And the next generation, or Reagan had a quote about it, right? We just moved down the generation after generation. And I see this as a counselor and a therapist as well. I see this with all types of things, family breakups, addictions, and all this. It's because nobody will stop it and say it stops here, right? And it's because of what you said, the debt, I believe, the tail is wagging the dog, right? You operate from a complete power of weakness. Think about it. I go back to what, if people will walk with me in this thing about being a spirit, I can take you to places where that spirit was kicking inside and we may have said something like, something told me that place was weird, or something told me this, or you know what I mean? And
right.
There's something, the fact that you're a created spirit. So I'm going to say, first time you went into the bank to get a car loan,
mm-hmm.
right? It was demeaning. They're looking you over. They're judging you. And it feels terrible inside. But because of this culture, hey, this is just how it is. It's not. What happens when you experience a word that I wanted to introduce to you today called holy discontent? This is a righteous anger, right? This is when you know there's a deeper truth to the situation you find yourself in. Now, I relate it to going to church, that you go, you're basically born as a kid. You don't even sin. Right? You hear about it, but it doesn't affect you. And then you get a little bit older and all of a sudden, you did hit little Johnny on the playground. So you start to think, oh my gosh, I may have something of this thing called sin. And then you get a little older and then all of a sudden you become a little bit worried about sin and you acknowledge that you have it your own. This is 10, 11, 12 years old. Then the church will bring you in and say, hey, we got a remedy. You say this little prayer here, and you're going to heaven. Really? Yeah. Now, you ain't even learned to sin good yet, but you're going to heaven, right? And here's all you need to do is you need to join a church and get involved. And there's a period. But I'm here to tell you, Trent, that is only the first half of a life of a Christian. And that is the recipe for someone being free, right? And I'm going to tie this back to what you said. Being free, right, would mean not being a slave to anything. And going back to John 8:32, he says, hey, very truly, Jesus says, very truly, I tell you the truth, and the truth's going to set you free. You would think that would have been the end of that conversation. They'd all went off free and went, woo-hoo, but they didn't. They said, whoa, what? Who are you talking to here, man? We ain't never been unfree. We're descendants of Abraham. And that's when he would tell this culture, oh yeah, but you don't understand it. You're a slave to Bank of America. You're a slave to Ford Motor Credit. You're a slave to John Deere Credit. So what you got to do is you got to get rid of all that slavery in your life. Mm-hmm. And you got to submit yourself to me fully, being Christ. And so he says in 36, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. A different Christian animal than one who is simply free. Totally different person.
I'm thinking about that just in context of our own business. And when you get a loan for a piece of property like we have, it's easy to want to do that. Can we do that over a 30-year amortization instead of 15? That would make my payments easier. And you just put it into context as I'm a slave twice as long if I would have just got it done in 15 years.
But do you ever stop and think about it? I mean, I'm a real estate agent, right? So like when you look, in fact, the disclosure document was so insulting during closing when you would, they would have the truth in lending disclosure required them to say it's $1,000 a month for 360 months. And yes, you only paid $198,000, but that is $360,000 what you're going to pay over the life of this loan. Right. That was embarrassing to show someone. So, and this is in times of good interest, back in the, you know, early 80s or whatever, at 10, 12% interest, you know, even now, you know, we've got generations that think 4% interest is high, right?
Yeah.
So look what we've got with 7 and 8% mortgage loans right now, right? After we've had the 30% fake inflation because of the fiat currency, these $500,000 properties are now $1 million, but they're still only worth $500,000. But you got to pay $1 million worth of this worthless paper we're running around here shoveling now, right? Which is still back to a culture that's based on fear instead of love. We should want people to own homes. And now the homes aren't available. And part of the reason is because a lot of investors buy them and rent them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're unavailable, which also supply and demand, that drives the price up even more of houses that are so far overpriced now. A kid, 25, no wonder he's depressed.
We talk about consolidation in agriculture and the food business and the oil business and the banking business, but consolidation in home ownership is not getting any attention, and it's happening right under our nose.
Well, a lot of these things are because it's the powers that be. You had mentioned a little while ago about when we were talking about the scamming of the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly cool. I mean, pharmaceuticals do it. The hospitals do it. The doctors do it. Nursing homes do it. Assisted care living places do it. I've been through it. And I don't care to tell you, it is a absolute sham on what they are perpetuating in this end of life for one reason. They got the analytics.
Two reasons. They may have the analytics, but you don't have the Waltons anymore either. I'm talking about the TV show where you have, you know, it starts where the parents are taking care of the kids. And then by the end of life, you're supposed to be taking care of the parents. But nobody wants to do that because it's going to impact my lifestyle. So we'll put mom and dad in the nursing home, pay an absorbent amount of money, but at least somebody else is taking care of them.
Well, and also, I'm going to let some off the hook because we got to the point with dad, we were over our head with that dementia. Once you get into 5, 6, and 7, there is no, there's very few people that are qualified. And even the caregivers were such a burnout rate, except for those that was their gift.
They were few and far between. The people who work in those, and I've got a daughter that's a CNA who wants to go into nursing, and she just prides herself in taking care of these folks that can't take care of themselves. But I also have to say, you know, I witnessed my mother, who was a registered nurse for 42 years. Her whole life has been giving. She's been the biggest giving person ever. And the day she decided she could no longer take care of dad in her home, a home I grew up in, and put him in a specialized dementia unit, that was a tough 30 days for her because she felt like she wasn't doing her job, and yet there was no way she could possibly do it. And they provided wonderful care for him.
Yep.
Pastor and Jeff Weiss, we have to go to a break, and we'll be back and talk about lifespan and whatever else may come up. Maybe farmland values in the last segment roll out after this. Let's talk about precision agriculture, using the least amount of chemical to get the best job, and controlling pests. Apache Sprayers has the innovation, the technology, the reliability, and the purchase price. You can't do better. But what they also have is service beyond what anybody else can compete with. Simpson Farm Enterprises prides themselves in service. If you're in the Great Plains of America from like Nebraska South, you want to get a hold of SimpsonFarm.com. If you're north, you're going to want to go to HighPlainsApache.com. Continuing to deliver the best tools and innovation for the farmer to produce more with less. That is the overall mission. SimpsonFarm.com, HighPlainsApache.com. Both of those would have a great appreciation for Greg Hager and his country songs with its roots that keep this nation in boots. GregHager.com to check out his albums or see what the tour schedule is. Roll Route, Trent Luce, last segment. Pastor Jeff Weiss joining us from, be clear about this, Sevierville.
No? Gatlinburg.
Gatlinburg.
Yep. Had the little small house fire, and so we're out. They're still redoing our house. We're up here in our little condo.
It's actually just me proving to the folks of Tennessee I know how to say Sevierville.
That's impressive. It's impressive. But once you understand that John Sevier was the first governor of the state of Tennessee, It helps people.
Yeah.
Because they think we've just got a lot of bad colds and sore throats here.
Okay. I was talking about my mother and when she finally admitted that she couldn't take care of my dad, and you were going to chime in.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to ask you was, you talked about your grandfather and how he didn't believe in death. What did you mean there? What did you mean?
He farmed his whole life, and if he didn't have cash to pay for it, he didn't buy it.
Oh, debt. All right, sorry, pastoral here. I heard death, D-E-A-T-H. But I'm going to go there anyway.
Oh, he didn't believe in death? No,
debt. Because debt. I don't believe in death once I've adopted the Genesis 2 truth that I'm a spirit with a soul living in a temporary body. And this is an area that I wanted to talk about just for a minute. And that is, if someone is on the street and they obviously don't have somewhere to live, are they still a child of God?
It's up to them.
No, it isn't. It's up to them to accept it, but they are a child of God. If they choose not to, that's on them. That's them using their free will not to. But what I'm saying is that everybody is a child of God. But what we do is we'll say, oh, no, you're Trent Luce, or you're a rancher, or you're a podcaster. And what has happened is the same desensitization with labels has happened to the children of God, which has created this whole identity loss. And a perfect example is, I don't call people without a home homeless. I call them children of God experiencing a period of homelessness. I don't like it when in an AA meeting, Jim gets up and says, I'm Jim, I'm an alcoholic, I've been sober for 25 years. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you're a new creation, Jim, get over that. Because it still has power over you if you're professing that, right? Anxiety, oh, I'm depressed, I have anxiety. No, you don't. You are a child of God who is experiencing a period of that. But what we do is we take it as our identity. Good, bad, right? I'm an architect. That's who I am. No, you're not. You're a spirit that's going to live forever, and you're a child of God who is temporarily acting as an architect. And this is what, and I know that's really like, 101, but it's where we're at, Trent. We are not a country of Republicans and Democrats. We're a country of children of God. And we need to understand that the spiritual attack is totally invested into dividing us up in many ways as they can. 3,000 denominations at last count. Hello. Because they know if this group were ever to unite in love, all the power and the money would drift out of everything. And some of the things we've been researching and looking into the last few weeks here will reveal that totally. That if your goal is literally to love that neighbor even more than you love yourself, woo! Hospitals wouldn't be that prevalent, because I tell you, a lot of people are in the hospital and can't be cured because they have spiritual illness.
Right. I kind of do a living experiment in that regard, Jeff. And for years, when people on the phone or you meet them, they say, how are you doing? They expect to say, great. You know, it's just like, we only expect you to answer the question. I answer the question. If there's something on my mind, I tell them. Most of the time I answer the question by saying never better. And in today's world, people look at you like, well, that's weird. Think this world's really messed up. How can you never be better? I say, well, I figure I got a poor memory. It's all state of mind. So I'm going to keep telling myself I've never been better. And if you live your life like you've never been better, I think you conquer a lot of what you just described.
But if you are a Christian and we embrace what the Bible teaches us, you just almost verbatim quoted a 2 Peter scripture. It said that, now we're talking about people who have been this, they have met Christ, their life has been began to be transformed, and now they're able to tell the story of this new person that they are. That's why I've never been better. I've never been better because this world can't touch me because I'm an eternal spirit and I'm here to have you ask me that, because in that scripture I mentioned, it said, always be prepared to give the hope that you have. I do that when smiling, when I'm hurting, or when a day it's pouring down rain, man. That's my favorite days, to walk into the local coffee shop with a big smile on my face, because the chances are, that's when somebody's going to say, what is wrong with you? Never thought you'd ask. Here's what's wrong with me. I was this, I met him, and now this is who I am, right? And so that's why, you know, that's why people, I'm so passionate about what I do, but it's because I love to hear people's stories. I'll see a person in any, and I'll be like, let me buy you a cup of coffee. Tell me your story. And if you get that love for people to where you're just dying to know, I was in Miami yesterday, and it was just crazy. I had a little bit of work done on this car that I bought. And so I just started walking around asking God, you know, hey, show me something here. And this lady sitting out in front of this salon, and I'm like, I don't know. And then it passed me again. He said, do it, do it. And I said, hey, how are you today? Blah, blah, blah. Long story short, we had church for an hour and a half in there. She almost ran off her next customer so I wouldn't leave. And it was just such a beautiful experience of people being real and sharing this love for each other through a stranger for no particular reason, with no agenda. And you know what? And the next time I talk to you, I want to get into talking about what this love is and what conditional love is versus agape love. And then once you see, we don't know what agape love is because we don't ever experience it. We just read about it in the Bible. It's what Christ, God, had for us in having his son die, right? But if you can start giving people agape love, that person that gets on your nerve the most, if you can try to love them, and then all of a sudden it changes things and it begins to come back on you, man, you start to be free indeed. It's crazy. But it's agape is the word, A-G-A-P-E, unconditional.
So would agape love explain those young men and women who, for the love of country, sign up to protect future generations of American citizens they never meet?
Absolutely. Are they aware that's what it is? No.
No.
No, because so many times what we're yielding to is something. And once again, something told me to join the army. Something told me. No, it's not something. You're a spirit. It is your spirit in that war with that picture you've got. The devil's telling you this. The angel's telling you that. It's you. Who are you going to listen to? What you've got there are those people who listen to the angel. Because it gave them peace. It felt good, right? And I guarantee there were some of them that answered that call, got in the recruiter's office, went a little into it and went, hold on, this isn't for me.
And the spirit told them. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but it's hard to follow the spirit when we're in debt up to our eyeballs. The wife is mad at me for this. She's pregnant again. We've got two kids. The first one's fixing to go to college. I never even thought about that. And I don't even believe in college anymore. What am I supposed to do? So that is the idea of keeping us distracted, as we've talked about, bigger stuff. We can go way big into this, into keeping world things happening in front of our eyes, but distracting ourselves with stuff like American Idol, right? And Survivor, and keeping people happy with those little tiny tidbits of life.
And when God carrots.
Tells us, man, you are created with this incredible purpose to make a difference. And the enemy convinces most people, nah, I can't make a difference. I'm not even going to vote.
So as I become a better student of world history and I read about the tyranny that led to genocide of, you know, you can go with Mao Zedong at 60 million, nobody even really knows. Do you suppose that there was this, because we all think that in today's world of the United States, it's never been crazier because we see division like we've never seen. And I wonder, what's a division like compared to what it would have been in 1860, which led up to the Civil War? What was the division like in Russia before Stalin kills 40 million? How do you put into context the division, which is all about the devil at work trying to destroy love, which you've put into context very well? How do you put that in the context of history?
Well, I believe in something, and I've got even a show in the works, and the working title is There's Nothing New Under the Sun. Hmm. All we're doing is repeating over and over and over, a new movement, right, comes along. It's a great thing. Everybody gets involved. Well, it grows so big, it necessarily has to have some bureaucratic aspects to it. So you begin to create a little bit of those levels. And then it grows to the point where the people are basically just numb to how it's being organized. And that leads into a period of what we call decadence, where we're eating cake while they're stealing every bit of liberty we've got. But because we got cake, we don't care. And then that what happens is that is the falling of that civilization. And then again, we're back to 12 o'clock. A new one springs up. It's a great idea. But then there's a man-made necessary bureaucracy that gets created, and eventually it lulls people into a false sense of security. Bam! They're in to take power and control.
Did you read my column last week called Bread and Circuses?
I have not. I'm sorry.
You just described it.
Because there's nothing new under the sun, Trent.
I understand that. That's why the Indians, the American Indians, have a powwow in a circle. There is no ending, no beginning. Life just continues to go in a circle. Are you going to compete or get left along the side? Pastor Jeff Weiss, final 30 seconds of profound wisdom for the day.
Here it is. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. When you are at your neighbor's throat or the person at the counter jumps at you and you jump back at them, your spirit needs to realize these are hurting people in today's world, and we need to show them love even when they don't deserve it, and just sit back and watch how you are blessed beyond measure.
I was going to punch them. Glad you shared that. We've successfully journeyed down the path, connecting food producers to food consumers. For Pastor Jeff Weiss, Trent Luce, both of us remind you that all roads do lead to a love-filled roll route.
Amen. Thank you, Trent.
Free Soil Coalition is going to have another gathering, this time at York, Nebraska, March 18th from 7 to 9. Curtis Junk from North Dakota, Angel Cushing from Kansas, Representative Carla Lems from South Dakota, going to be talking about property rights now or never. FreeSoilCoalition.com or LooseTailsMedia.com for full details.